Well, yes, Josh, it is true that my bride and I's first station of service did include music and youth, and it was short-lived, wasn't it, love? Because leading what was at that time was only hymns on a washboard just didn't take hold. Can we all just imagine me trying to lead hymns with a washboard? Come on, Ronnie, go there with me. I mean, you know, my wife can sing the paint off the walls, but she just can't carry a guy playing washboard. So, yeah. So, oh my gosh, I have cracked myself up just thinking about it with that washboard. I wanted to go with stand-up bass, but those are kind of cool, you know, boom, boom, boom. But the washboard, that was the ticket right there. And then they invested and got me a tub to put the washboard in. There you go. There we go, huh? Sharon was the jugger. Yeah, yeah. And the fact that I was wearing overalls without a shirt just set it off. It was incredible. Sadly, there were no pictures then. So anyway, all right, I have painted a picture in my own mind that I'm going to revisit several times today. Amen. We are continuing our study of the topic of In God We Trust. We're going to be We're going to be in Acts, the 15th chapter today, if you want to turn there. And we are in the midst of a study inside of a study entitled A Faith That Shakes. This is the second installment. A faith that shakes, I believe, has three key elements. The first is it must be solid. We are living in a world right now where everything that we've placed faith in is being called into question. Whether you agree or disagree, we are wrestling with what can we really put faith in? And the question has an answer, but it's not a worldly answer. It's a divine answer. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with its inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. We have a firm foundation, a solid foundation in that God never changes. His word is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. God the Son is trustworthy. God the Holy Spirit is trustworthy. He is, and say it with me for the third time for your own benefit, he is. Secondly, a faith that shakes is sound, and that means that there's a sound testimony to the trustworthiness of it. If you've ever gone to that little thing, you may not have heard of it. It's new, kind of, out there on the intranet. It's called Amazon. Have you ever been there? Maybe. A free plug. Thank you for everyone who has purchased gifts for the shower, for the kitchen shower. There's a lot of. When are you ladies going to open the boxes? I didn't open the boxes. I'm trying to be kind and polite and, you know, and I pile them up in the kitchen and they're still piling up. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to give in. It's like Christmas every day. But when you go on Facebook, when you go to Amazon, they recommend something, but you know what you do is you go looking and seeing what other people say about the product. You know why? Because the other people are going to tell you their experience. Now, you have to be careful because not everybody, you know, can experience the same thing and, you know, these things, but the question that we have is a faith that shakes has a sound testimony to its trustworthiness. We have the saints of the past. We have God's written word. We have the saints of today. I'm looking at you and you're looking at me. Is it trustworthy? Is it sound? My friends, it is. I may feel weak today, but if I look in the rearview mirror, God has always answered the call. And if God answered the call there, he'll answer the call there as well. And then thirdly, it's a simple faith. Now, last week we toyed with. I promise you, I fixed that slide. I did. It's technology. It's the virus. You can see if you look close. This looks like one of those Facebook things. What animal do you see? Last week we looked at the quote that says this, it doesn't matter what you believe so long as you are sincere. And we answered that with this, God never said that. God never said it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. That, my friends, is not biblical. You know, Confucius may say, but Confucius wrong. I'm on the verge of just cracking myself up today. I'm just telling you. I'm all the way back at the washboard. Anyway, last week we talked about theology, which birthed the class. My friends, it is important what you believe. If you want a faith that shakes, your faith must be grounded in and grown in something that is trustworthy. And God's word is that. And part of the challenge we live in today is this, is everyone's looking for truth, but they're looking for their definition of truth. And that is as varied as the opinions of the number of people there are. The Bible says of itself that God's word is truth. And that's what we want to build on. That's what we want to live in. And my friends, I was here yesterday with a family that had lost a family. That's what we want to die in too. Listen, there are some certain things in life. Death and taxes are two of them, they say. And I want to live in God's word and I want to die in God's word because only God's word gives me hope. Only God's word gives me peace. Only God's word gives me a promise of one day heaven. And so we looked at that and we talked about the Jerusalem Council. We agreed that, believe it or not, even inside the church, even among Christians, there can be disagreements. I know. I was talking to a friend of mine at a local church and I said, I know this doesn't happen over here because y'all are all sanctified. I mean, they just all get along. But they were, the conflict on the table, the primary point of the conflict was, were non-Jewish believers going to be required to follow Jewish law? And they had this disagreement. They came together, they resolved together, and they make a declaration together, and it carried on. They resolved the question. And so sometimes we as human beings can make simple things difficult. And we have to be very careful about that. So today, we're going to look as we walk this story down. I'm going to introduce you to three men, Paul, Silas, and John Mark. If you're new to church, or maybe you're not, maybe you're new to the Bible, these are three men who went on a missionary journey. After they went to the Jerusalem Council, after they settled this disagreement, now it's time to go tell people about Jesus in 45 AD. So Paul, Silas, and John Mark, let's meet the team real quick. I feel like the NFL. Let's look at the starting lineups today. Starting at quarterback, we have Paul the Apostle. Formerly Saul of Tarsus, a hater of the church and a persecutor of believers, a holder of cloaks. He was a Jewish Roman. That's important because he had certain rights because he was a Roman citizen that a Jew by birth would not be afforded him. He was a missionary and a very skilled author. He authored 13 of the letters that are included in our Bible today. Paul is a very important part of your faith as a Christian if you believe in the Bible. So let's look. His receiver, Barnabas. Barnabas is known as the son of consolation or exhortation or comfort. Barnabas had the gift of encouragement. Do you know people that have that gift? You can walk in with a storm cloud over your head, but when you walk out, you got to put some sunscreen on because the sun is so bright. I'm that to Brian Goodwin, aren't I, Brian? I am your sunshine, your only, not only sunshine, Asen. Right? Man, you got to lather that up because I'll just burn your skin with sunshine. But I'm back at the wash tub. It's going to be that kind of day. But Barnabas had the gift of encouragement, and that is such a beautiful gift. It's such an encouraging gift, and it's an important gift, and we're going to see in just a minute that that gift sometimes isn't understood. Now, Paul was a man of action. Paul was an A-type personality. Not that A-types are wrong. They're just A-types. You know, I'm a sanguine personality. I drive A-types a little crazy. It's okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ronnie. He was a Cypriot Jew. Now, you bring that up at work tomorrow, you're going to sound really smart. That just simply means he comes from the island of Cyprus. And he vouched for Paul. Paul was an enemy of God. Paul got saved. Paul wanted to go be with the believers in Jerusalem, but no one liked him. No one trusted him. Why? Because he was a bad dude. Barnabas went with Paul and vouched for him. This is the depth of their relationship. And Barnabas was the uncle of John Mark. Now, at Waterboy, at 40 years of age, we have John Mark. John Mark will be the author of your book of Mark in the Gospels. It was written prior to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and unfortunately, John Mark would give his life a martyr in Alexandria, Egypt. There's a little discussion on how he died, but the fact is that he did die. So we have these three men, and they set out on a journey, a Mediterranean cruise, as it were. And so we can see they leave Syria and they go to Cyprus, which is Barnabas's home nation, home island, and they get there. And to say that the ministry was hard would be a gross understatement. Can we agree, if you're going to live for Jesus, sooner or later, it's going to get a little bit hard, right? Yeah. Thank you. All right, man, yeah. I missed that during the corona. Yes, if you are going to live for Christ, sooner or later, your faith and your life are going to take you into places that are difficult. Not to mention that sometimes life in and of itself is difficult. And so they go to the island and they're ministering and they're sharing and they're facing opposition and things get tough and no one wants to hear what they have to say. Has anyone ever told you, just close your pie hole, I'm not interested? That'll hurt a man's feelings. I have had people say that to me at times. Now, what'll really hurt your feelings is when they tell you that in a different language. And I'm like, well, I don't even know what you just said, but now I'm a little hurt. They were ready to leave the island of Cyprus. Things didn't go well, but you know what? God never called you to the results. God called you to the faithfulness. They were faithful to the calling, but as they were about to go up into what is modern-day Turkey for the balance of the trip, Acts chapter 13 tells us this. Now, Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, but John left them and returned to Jerusalem. John did not make the three-hour tour. He went back to Jerusalem. The team of three became two after their ministry in Cyprus. Now, why is that important? Well, let's first talk about the question, why did John Mark tap out? Let me ask you this. Do you know Christians who once maybe were very passionate and engaged who are now on the sidelines? We all do, don't we? Well, why do we tap out? It's a good question. Let's look. Hold on. There we go. It was difficult, maybe. We already talked about that. Living for Christ is difficult. Living in harmony inside a body of faith sometimes can be difficult. Carving out and maintaining time to be engaged in church life can be difficult. Disagreement. If you put four people in one car, you're going to get five opinions. Amen? Just because you put them in an accord doesn't mean they all agree. You're welcome right there, washboard. Can I ask you this? Do you ever get discouraged as a Christian? I'm going to tell you something right now, and I hope it doesn't hurt you. But as your pastor, sometimes I get discouraged. I really do. I look around the world, and I look at things, and listen, I'm human, and I look what other churches are doing, and I look at our church, and I'm like, well, pfft. I mean, they've got smoke machines. Why can't we have smoke machines, right? If we're all honest, somewhere along the journey, we can face discouragement. We can become distracted. Sometimes as believers, we get distracted by shiny things. Maybe good things, not all things that are a distraction are bad things, but we become distracted. We can become dissatisfied. Sometimes I'm just not happy with it. Have you ever tossed something out just because I'm just dissatisfied with it? Yeah. Or got up and left. Just don't want to. It can happen, can't it? Just don't want to. The scripture doesn't really tell us why he tapped out. Let's look at verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let's return and visit the brethren in the city which we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark along with them also. So the first missionary journey didn't go so well. John Mark tapped out. We're not told the reasons, but he did. He tapped out. And so now Paul says to Barnabas, it's time to go and take a road trip. And Barnabas goes, I'm it. Let's take John Mark. And Paul goes, And so now we're going to look at what we know as Paul's second missionary journey. And if you can see, the lineup has changed. Paul, in his second missionary journey, you can see it was a much larger endeavor. Now, this is free. It doesn't cost you extra. Does anyone want to guess how many miles Paul traveled on his second missionary journey? Now, this was before airplanes, okay, just so you'll know that. This was before cruise liners. So it's, anybody want to guess? It's just 1,200 miles? That's good, but it's wrong. 1,500. I hear 1,500. That's a little better, but still way wrong. Anybody else? 2,300. We've upped the ante. It's better than the other two, but still wrong. I hear 3,500. We're moving in the right direction, ladies and gentlemen, but you're still wrong. I hear 7,000 from the man in the turquoise shirt sitting where he never sits. How about this? They traveled over 10,000 miles. Now, that's a significant commitment no matter what you're doing. If I said, hey, let's road trip here in these United States and we're going to travel 10,000 miles, how many of you would go, I'm in? Okay. 10,000 miles. I get to pick who you travel with. Oh, okay. See, that... Oh, no, it's not everybody, just you know, two of us. But it's 10,000 miles. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia, and not and not go with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Now, interesting side note. Where did they come from that John Mark got so beat down by what we don't know and tapped out? Cyprus. So Barnabas took John Mark and went back to Cyprus. Paul says, I don't want to take him. Paul chose Silas and left being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Sicilia, strengthening the churches. So what we have here is a saintly squabble. That never happens, does it? Not in church. We have a saintly squabble. Here's Paul's positions. Mark spit the bit. Have you ever had someone not perform up to your expectations? You may be sitting there thinking right now, well, Jimmy, that's you. Mark spit the bit. He didn't finish the task. We don't know exactly why, but he didn't fulfill the contract he signed for. The trip that they were going on was going to be significantly longer. It was going to be significantly harder. And trust was the question. Can I trust John Mark to stay to the work? It's a fair question. Paul, being a type A personality, his patience were a little shorter. And Paul decided this was a hill he was willing to die on. See, one of the challenges we have to decide, not only in life, but in church life, is what hills are we willing to die on? And Paul decided that taking John Mark or not taking John Mark was a hill he was going to die on when it came to the friendship, well, when it came to the combined ministry with Barnabas. Now, let's look at Barnabas's position. Barnabas is an encourager. He's the guy, right? Come on, Paul, we got to give him another chance. Come on, he's young. He's 40, but he's young. You know, those encouragers, man, they're always the kings and the queens of the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth chances, right? But we need them. Do you know why? Because we don't always hit a home run at the first at bat. We need them. After 30 plus years in ministry, if it weren't for the encouragers in my life, I might have tapped out. Our first ministry, you remember the washboard? It ended kind of abruptly and very, I'll just tell you, I'll give you the, here's the Sparks note. Everything was going well. No, no, I got numbers, brother. Everything was going well. The senior adult retired, the senior adult pastor retired. And one Sunday after church, one of the leaders, they didn't do elders then, one of the leaders came up to me and says, "Hey, I need to talk to you. Hey, it's okay." And he goes this, "Hey, the finance committee met." Interesting. I was on the finance committee. I didn't make a meeting. And he says, "We've decided to eliminate your salary. You can stay or you can leave." Now, we all have to agree that's a little harsh. Now, my salary was $50 a week. But you see, the wrestling was because as an unbeliever, I was a money grabber. And so now I was wrestling, am I going to be the man I used to be? You know, it was tough, right? So we need those encouragers. And I thank God because my sweet mother-in-law was one of those encouragers. I owe a great deal to her because in a very difficult test early in my personal faith and early in my ministry, in our ministry, I was up against it. Thank God for the encouragers. He was family. This is his nephew. And Barnabas decided this was a hill he was willing to die on. Listen, Paul, if John Mark doesn't go with us, then there's no us. It's a strong place, but that's where they were. The team broke up. Question, is it ever right to part ways? It's about to get real quiet up in here. The answer is yes. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it, and there's a just and unjust reason for doing it. Perhaps you're familiar with Paul Simon. This is back when he had hair. And his album entitled 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, it was quite a hit. Do you have that album? No? Have you heard that song? Travis, you were up here. Well, today I'm going to give you 7 steps for leaving your church. You say, "Jimmy, what?" I promised him in the 9 o'clock hour I was going to discuss something that would not be discussed in this entire town. And 7 steps to leave your church is not being preached this morning. You say, "Jimmy, why in the world would you teach this?" Let me explain to you. If you talk about faith, eventually you're going to talk to someone who either A, has left a church or is looking for a church. You yourself may have one time been a part of another fellowship and now you're here. And you know what? There may be a day the Lord reassigns you. Sometimes there's a time and a place. But the question is, when is it and how do you do it? And so this is to give you a platform by which you can talk with friends, coworkers that you meet when this topic comes up. Because it all makes us feel a little weird, doesn't it? You're looking a little weird, the fact that I'm even talking about it. First of all, make sure you have valid reasons. There's a right reason and a wrong reason. If you move away, that's a good reason to find a new fellowship. If your workaday job, which is now 7 days a week, and you have to work every Sunday for as long as you're going to work, it might be that you need to find a Saturday night fellowship you can be a part of, right? If there is a divergence from biblical truth, it's a good reason. If there is unresolvable conflict, and you know, I'm going to bring this to me. Listen, my teaching style isn't for everyone, and I understand that. I understand. And we've actually had people who've gone on to plant into other churches, and it's okay. It's okay, right? Secondly, be honest about your own motives and failings. You have to be honest in evaluating the relationship. Now, I will say this, and I realize there's a bucket with hot water right there, or the proverbial bear trap. Let me just say this. Far too many times, I've had conversations, not necessarily at ALF, when people will come to me and they'll say, we're going to find another fellowship. Okay. I mean, the Lord moves his people sometimes. And may I ask why? Well, I'm just not getting fed. And the question I want to ask is, well, if you showed up, you might get fed. You see, if you don't go to the grocery store, you'll starve to death. Okay, that's me. All right, that's just me. But you want to make sure that the parting of ways has the right motives to it. And we also have to own our deficiencies in the relationship. Listen, no relationship fails and we don't own a part of it, right? We all, you know. Listen, I can tell you as your pastor, there's things I could do better. So I own my deficiencies. We have to affirm what is good in the church. Now, this is an old counseling project where when you're trying to evaluate the value of something, draw a line down the middle of the piece of paper and you have pros and cons. Now, what's amazing is when you do that, you might actually begin to remember the things that you love about the person or the group or whatever it is. Sometimes we get so distracted and so emotional, we forget what we really fell in love with. And I just would ask you today, what is it about ALF that you love? What did you fall in love with? And we have to be reminding ourselves that, even in our marriages, we want to remind ourselves because we change and we, you know, these things, right? And the scripture says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, whatever is just, is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is commendable, there is an excellence. If there is anything worth praise, listen, I think I need a new team. I think I need a new church. Okay, but what's honorable and good about the church that you're leaving? There's something, right? Think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Sometimes the Lord moves his people. Sometimes life moves us. But we don't have to focus on what we perceive deficiencies, right? We could focus on the good things. We can think about the good things. Resolve outstanding conflicts. Don't ever leave a relationship without doing your very best to resolve the conflicts. If you can depart friends, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Talk with the leaders. You know, sometimes the leaders don't know. We may not see. We may not hear. We may need to adjust. But talk to the leaders. Let them be an encouragement. And I've said this over and over and over again. Every person that comes into this fellowship, every person that visits this fellowship, and we have new people here today, and I'm going to say it right here publicly. Come here, settle in, make yourself at home. And if this is where God wants you, amen. And if this is not where God wants you, amen. And I will personally commit to helping you find where that place is. Say goodbye to your friends. Leave on good terms, right? And then commit to a new church. God never intended his people to be unconnected to a fellowship. You are in perilous danger if you disconnect from one fellowship for whatever the reason is and stay disconnected. That's how you become a statistic. God never intended that. You say, well, Jimmy, this is hard. Well, it's supposed to be hard. We're family, familia. It shouldn't be easy. It's easy for me to walk away from a restaurant I don't like, right? It's supposed to be hard because when you pour in to an organization or a group of people, your love, your sweat, your tears, when you get to wave the banner at their victories and shed the tears in their sorrows, it should be hard. It should be. 1 Peter says this, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Listen, we are all family by faith. And at the end of it, even if it's leaving this fellowship and joining another fellowship, the goal, like we sang earlier, is this. In all things, and Jeff, you said it in the 9 o'clock hour, in everything that we do, what? We want to bring glory to God. That's the reason you'll never hear me bad-mouthing a church. Why? That's family. Now, we may not agree on everything, but it's family. And the world looks, and they look, soapbox. The world looks at the church and goes, you say that you're a family, but you're just as dysfunctional as the one I'm trying to function in. The world must see in us what God intends us to be if the world ever wants to be a part of it, or at least to come hear about it. We can leave, we can part ways, and still bring glory to God. You're saying, Jimmy, now you're just blowing smoke. Well, let's look. Was this a righteous separation? I'm going to leave that with you. You say, come on, Jimmy, give me an answer. I'm not giving you one. I see Miss Jo smiling. She's thinking about it. Miss Jo, would you like me to give you an answer? He's been taught. Did God work through the weaknesses of these men? Yes, he did. He doubled his missionary force. He went from two to four. Can God work through the weaknesses of man? He does it all the time. Isn't that great? It is a glorious thing that God's purposes will always prevail. And isn't it glorious that even when we aren't necessarily batting 1,000, God doesn't just toss us aside? Hey, well, you know what, man? You're just not quite cutting it, so I'm just going to toss you aside. I'm so glad for that because I don't always bat 1,000. The saintly squabble led to a parting of ways, and I'll leave whether it was justified or not for your discretion, and I would love to hear your thoughts. And God worked through them, multiplied his missionary force, and away they went. You're still thinking, Jimmy, this whole thing leaving, this whole thing separating and doing it, I hear what you're saying. May I give you the rest of the story? Ronnie, can I give you like 5 minutes? That's right. 2 Timothy. Now, Paul's an older man, and he's been worn down, and he's being poured out, his own words. He's imprisoned in Rome. He's facing what will be his inevitable death. And these are his writings to Timothy. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachings in accordance to their own desires. Does that sound anything like today? And we will turn and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, who's the you? You. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. For I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all, who's all? To all who have loved his appearing. Right. Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Right. Just so you remember, two men had a hill they died on, right? Parted ways. Only Luke is with me. Pick up who?
Mark.
And bring him with you. For he is useful to me for my service. Why is it important that we live and sometimes separate in a godly way? Because we're family and we're about glorifying him and about accomplishing kingdom goals. Here's John Mark, here's Paul, and Paul says to me, says, John Mark, bring him with you. He's important to me. Now, could that have been accomplished if God wasn't the middle of the disagreement? Could that be accomplished if you couldn't find a center ground by which to stand on? And what is that center ground? It's the solid ground. It's the solidness of Jesus Christ. Paul's about to die. He's about to give his life. And one of the people that will bring him comfort, one of the people he wants another opportunity to talk to and to encourage and to mentor is who? The very man who spit the bit. The very man that cost him and Barnabas from going together. My friends, when we have the kingdom in mind, the way that we conduct ourselves will be different, even in the difficult times. So the challenge that you and I face is this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this was the testimony of all the saints? Wouldn't it be great? Well, you know, I once was a part of that fellowship, but now I'm a part of this fellowship. Listen, I love that church. That's just not where I am right now. I pray for them. Why? We're family. We're kingdom. This is a little C church. We're a part of the capital C church. This is a part of the capital K kingdom. I've served in 3 other churches in this community, and I love them just as much as I love you. I'm not there, but I love them. In fact, yesterday I served a family that I met over 30 years ago. Why? Because I want to be a part of the capital K kingdom. It's not the kingdom of ALF. It's the kingdom of God. And the way that we live and the way that we interact and sometimes the way that we separate, wouldn't it be a glorious testimony? The next time you talk to someone and they say, well, you know, I used to be a part of this fellowship and they didn't spend the next 40 minutes bad-mouthing it. Wouldn't that be awesome? It just, you know, it was just time for a change. Wouldn't that be great? Question. A faith that shakes separates us from our pride. You see, it's the separation of pride that gives us the ability to separate, even under difficult times, in a God-honoring way. It stirs us to our core, all the way down to our toes, when what we want more than anything else is to glorify God. It settles our convictions. It's not about me being right. Now, there are some non-negotiables in my life. Don't be mistaken. But there's a whole lot of things. You say tomato. I don't even say tomato. Don't eat them. I don't get tomatoes. How many tomato eaters do we have? Don't get it. Don't get it. You say it's great. I say meh. But you know what? We can love each other. You say, Jimmy, you should wear a coat and tie. I say, well, okay. I say, you should wear a Sunday bonnet. A faith that shakes settles us down to the convictions that are non-negotiable and gives us grace in the other. And that's one of the things I do love about you as far as the little ALF, is there's a lot of grace here. And we don't do everything great, amen? But we do some things really good, and we can improve. So my question to us today is simply this. What in your life and my life does the Lord need to shake? Is there anything in your life the Lord needs to kind of shake on out of you? You know, it could be maybe you've got hard feelings towards another fellowship or another believer. Lord needs to shake that on out of you. It's got no place. Bitterness and resentment just poisons the container. Maybe God needs to shake that out of you. Maybe you have that towards just another individual. Maybe they're not even a believer. Guess what? Jeff said it earlier at 9 o'clock. He says, you know what? God called us to love everybody. Right, Jeff? Not just the people in ALF. God even calls us to love the unbeliever. God calls us to love the people even who might hate us. Maybe God needs to shake that out of us. Will you ask the Lord to please do a mighty work in you? Do you really want to be everything God wants you to be? That's a courageous commitment, because you don't know where all the pointy edges are. And you certainly don't know what God might use to knock those off. That is a courageous statement right there. And lastly, will you allow him to do mighty work through you? Mighty work always comes with a price. But I can tell you this from the bottom of my heart. Mighty work, it's the best. When you get to look back and you go, man, God actually let me be a part of his team for that. I've got 30 years of that. And I want you to have it too. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? And I just ask you right now, my friends, my family, just ask the Lord, Lord, is there something you need to shake out of me? Lord, I don't want it if you don't want it. You say in your word that we have been bought with a price, that we are no longer ours. Lord, I belong to you. And Lord, your possession asks you to shake out of it what you don't want in it. Would you pray, Lord, do something great in me. Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, make me into who you see me as. Would you be willing and able and desirous to say, Lord, do a great work through me. God, I want to be on the team. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I don't want to be the water boy. I want to be hands-on, dirty uniform. I want to be out there on the edge. I want to be sweating for you. My friends, everything you desire begins with availability. When you make yourself available, it is my promise to you that God will place you and use you. It's like when you retire or when you take vacation, no time remains void. My promise to you is this, is if you will make yourself available and allow God to prepare you, he will use you in great and mighty ways. Father, I thank you for this day. And Lord, I confess publicly that I am imperfect. And Lord, I ask that you would continue to sift my life. Lord, I'm better than the man I once was, but I am far from the man I desire to be. And Father, I pray that you would help me to be a lover of you and a lover of people. And Lord, I pray that you would help remind me with great regularity that this is your church and I'm just your under shepherd. Lord, I don't own a thing. These are your sheep. And those sheep down the street are your sheep. And the sheep on the other side of the overpass are your sheep. And the sheep across the street are your sheep. Father, help me be mindful of that. And Father, I pray on behalf of the little ALF, Lord, that you would use us to do great and mighty things. God, we want to do something for the kingdom. Lord, we want to be known as a fellowship who loves and serves and gives. We want to be known as a fellowship who holds firmly to the word of God, and not only holds it, but lives it. Lord, we want to be a refuge to the hurting and the helpless. Father, we ask that you would do this for your glory. Lord, we ask that you would do this for our own good and our personal enjoyment. And Father, we ask that you would do this for the sake of a world that is in desperate need today. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.